Hey, Dad, how's your relationship with your son? Again and again on this program, we have lamented the war against boys and the extinction of fathers, but now we are fixing the problem. Christian Home Educators of Colorado is sponsoring our second father-son retreat in the Colorado Rockies. Join Vision Forum's Doug Phillips and Richard Little Bear Wheeler this August for a great time of fathers and sons renewing a vision and building relationships. Sign up now at 877-842-CHECK or on the web, check.org. That's CHEC.org. Colorado's 21st Home Educators Conference is coming to Denver on June 9th, and it's double the size of last year. This conference features 150 workshops, hundreds of vendor tables, powerful keynote speakers, and a marriage-building seminar from Walk Through the Bible. For 21 years, this conference has been building strong families, developing a Christian worldview, and exploring the best education choices for our children. Join 5,000 parents and teens at this family-building conference on June 9th. Call 877-842-CHECK or visit check.org on the web. That's CHEC.org.
People are surprised to discover that my family and I drive an hour and a half to Reformation Church. I must confess, 3 years ago when a friend encouraged us to visit Reformation, my thoughts were, a two-hour drive to church? I don't think so. But because of our friendship, I was willing to make the trip one time. Well, we have been making that drive ever since. You may be thinking, why would anyone drive that far to attend a church? The members of Reformation take their walk with the Lord seriously. They actively encourage one another, building up one another in the faith, and helping to carry each other's burdens. The brothers and sisters at Reformation truly care for one another. But this is not the main reason we attend Reformation. It is only the icing on the cake. The main reason we attend Reformation is because of the centrality of the Word in our worship of the Triune God. His Word is preached with power and authority. At Reformation, we worship the living God, who is mighty and powerful, full of mercy and grace.
Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School on Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606.
Stay tuned. My Dad in Generations is next.
Warning. This program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Fighting back from the brink of destruction. This is Kevin Swanson, the program Generations. And indeed, we live in a time when 35% of children are born without fathers. Half of marriages end in divorce. We are probably at the lowest level morally and socially in America's history. And we're fighting back from the brink. That's the program Generations. That's our vision. We got a vision for our families. I have five children. Dave Buhner, our producer, has five as well. That makes 10. 10 reasons to be doing this program. I assume you have a few more yourselves, those of you listening to the program today. And today, there has been a series of articles coming out in the Denver Post on homelessness. Now, Jesus warned us that you're always going to have the poor with you. But how do you deal with the poor? Well, there's a lot of guys that lose their jobs, and that's just the reality of the situation. But what do you do when you are homeless? And Dave, I have struggled with this issue myself. I'm sure everybody has at least considered the possibility of homelessness. So what's going to happen to me if I ever become poverty-stricken? Of course, circumstances can go that direction. It just happens. People can become maimed, have problems with their minds. I already have a problem with my mind. I just hope it doesn't get any worse than this. But what would happen? And I look at my children, I say, children, I have five Social Security programs. I don't need Social Security. I have five Social Security programs. My children get into a fight as to who's going to take control, take over, help mom and dad. But, you know, there's a second reason, too, Dave, and that is you. I mean, you're never going to let me starve in the street. I know that.
No, Kevin, you always can come to my house. Mm-hmm.
I can shack up in your basement.
Your family's always welcome in my basement.
And the 40 families in my life, our church, 40 families in my life that would not let my family starve to death, I know they wouldn't. I'm confident of that. That makes a difference, doesn't it?
Of course it makes a difference. You're not just Kevin Swanson sitting out here in Elbert County all alone. Well, you kind of are. But you're also part of a larger community, a community of what the Bible calls brothers. And brothers don't let brothers starve.
And when we read the newspaper, we don't find church anywhere. The church is not relevant in society today. Zero relevance to most people, to the wider culture. Yet government is the solution to these guys. But you know what? Government is a self-perpetuating evil approach to welfare. You agree with that?
A government ultimately, when it goes beyond its jurisdiction of protecting the borders and persecuting the evildoer within society, when it goes beyond those jurisdictional boundaries, evil always results. So when it takes over the role of a father, of provider or protector, it destroys the family. When it takes over the role of the church, evil always ensues. In fact, we've had wars fought over this one jurisdictional definition of what the civil magistrate is. I think back to the Scottish Covenanters fighting whether or not the king had jurisdiction within the bounds of the church. Well, in this country, it's just sort of taken over the function.
And nobody really cares. Forget the war. Nobody really cares. Government welfare is evil. Here's why. Because it's welfare without relationship. In most cases, welfare provides this housing and food to able-bodied men, and does not require them to work, and that just perpetuates slothfulness, and that can't be any good.
It's evil on both ends. It's evil on the end that takes money from families, from providers, at gunpoint, essentially. The government says, if you do not give me my taxes, I'm going to take your property away, throw you in jail under threat of your life. That's evil. That's wickedness. Nobody owns property anymore. We all rent it from the government. We know this because we all pay property tax. And even if we paid off our mortgage, if we don't pay our property tax, they're still going to take the land away from us. But at the other end, it supplants the role of husbands and fathers, of able-bodied men. And it, like you said, it encourages slothfulness.
Right, right. And the Bible says, never strengthen the hands of evildoers. Right, that's Jeremiah. Never, never, never strengthen the hands of evildoers. That is those that will not work, those that are slothful, and those that are criminal, of the criminal element. And the modern welfare state just strengthens the hands of evildoers, Dave, by encouraging multi-generational welfare, single parenting. We know that. That's a no-brainer. If a woman can stay on welfare, she doesn't have to get married. And, of course, there's crime that results as a result of all of that. And there's, by the way, Dave, did you know that we have more people in jail, in prison in America per capita than any other nation in the world?
I didn't know that. It doesn't surprise me at all. We have lots and lots of people in jail.
2.5 million people in jail today. 1 in 100 men are in jail. 1 in every 100 men you see are in jail. Is there something better than the failed system that we have here today? Ladies and gentlemen, I think there is. What do you do when you find yourself homeless? That's next on Generations. Stay tuned. Colorado's 21st Home Educators Conference is coming to Denver on June 9th, and it's double the size of last year. This conference features 150 workshops, hundreds of vendor tables, powerful keynote speakers, and a marriage-building seminar from Walk Through the Bible. For 21 years, this conference has been building strong families, developing a Christian worldview, and exploring the best education choices for our children. Join 5,000 parents and teens at this family-building conference on June 9th. Call 877-842-CHECK or visit check.org on the web. That's CHEC.org. Ladies and gentlemen, I like no-hassle car buying. It's very simple. Here's how it works. Visit McKinneyMotors.com, McKinney, Motors.com. Click on Contact. Tell them what you want, your price range, and a contact number, and Jeff will go to work for you. He's been in the car business for 20 years. He knows cars. He handles any car, new or used. He'll get the best car for you with the best service at your price at Jeff McKinney Motors. That's McKinneyMotors.com or call 303-660-0303. Call him, tell him what you want, and he will do the work for you. Contact McKinneyMotors.com. That's 303-660-0303. Hi, folks. Kevin Swanson here, pastor, executive director, but the reason I'm on the air is I am a father of five, and I care about the world in which I am raising my children. Today, the issue of poverty, the issue of homelessness happens to a lot of folks. You lose a job, you go through some hard times, maybe even homelessness. What do you do? And Dave, I have people call me all the time. In fact, last week while we were doing the program, somebody called me up and said, hey, brother, can you spare me a 20? Guy out of a job, needed some help. That happens almost weekly here. And what do you tell them?
Well, who is this guy? Is he part of a church? Is he part of your church? I want to know something a little bit about him.
I've made the mistake 100 times, well, maybe not that many times, but a lot of times where I've given people money and it has not done any good. I think it was wrong for me to give money. And that's possible, isn't it? It's possible for it to be wrong to give somebody a $20 bill.
It's possible that a $20 bill would not be used for righteousness, absolutely. But whether or not it's wrong for you to give is a much deeper moral dilemma. In the Old Testament, those who were in the agricultural business were told to leave certain things that the poor could glean. They would not pick every olive off the olive tree. They would not go back and make sure they got it all, for instance.
But the guy doing the work is doing the work. He's picking the product. It's not being given to him. He's got to go and get it himself. So there's some work involved there. So certainly that's an option. They could get involved in picking plums in the backyard or something of that sort. But here is my answer to anybody who calls me and says, hey, brother, can you spare me a 20? I say, you know, why don't you come to our church? Why don't you come to church? Or are you a member of a church? Inevitably, no. I tell them, you know, we take care of our members in our church. We would never, never, never allow any one of our members to reach a condition that you're in right now. We would not allow our members to be spiritually or physically destitute. That is unacceptable for a church. That's why I tell them. You know what? They never come to church. I have never had one come to church. They do not want the accountability.
Now, Kevin, there's going to be some people who are listening here and saying that you're bribing people to come to church. You're trying to force their hand to be part of your congregation. How would you answer that charge?
Well, I tell them that's the only possibility of them receiving assistance from us, is if they participate spiritually with us. We're not going to assist somebody physically and not assist them spiritually. Jesus never did that himself. Okay, did Jesus bribe the people when he fed the 5,000? I don't think so. He gave them the word of God, and then he gave them something for their stomach. So, no, these two things have to come hand in hand if we're going to minister to people.
If somebody is out of a house, say, or hasn't eaten in a while, your guess is they also are spiritually malnourished.
Absolutely. Absolutely. These things come hand in hand. So if somebody comes to our church and says, you know what, I am homeless. I don't have a job. I haven't had a job for a year and a half. And we're talking an able-bodied man here. Here's what I do. The first thing I do is I say, well, be sure you're a member of a good church that will take care of you. Not a church that gives you an entertainment program once a week. No way. A church that is committed to you, body and soul.
In other words, you can be homeless in the sense that you don't have a house to live in, but you also can be spiritually homeless in that you don't have a spiritual home at which you are refreshed and taught the gospel, which you are exhorted and held to accountability.
That's absolutely right. So the first point is get yourself into a church. Be a part of a church. Be a member of a church. Usually, in a good church, there's a distinction between those that have committed to be accountable to that church and those that have not committed to being accountable to that church. We typically call it membership. Be a member of a good church that will not let you starve.
So step one, solve your spiritual homeless issue.
Absolutely. Secondly, get into counseling in that church. That is, humbly submit to counsel in that church. Go to those leaders and say, I want to be accountable. What am I doing wrong? Am I slothful? Do you think I'm slothful? Hold me accountable, brother, to the standards of God's word.
Now, when you say counseling, and you said within the church, you don't mean going to a Christian counseling center, laying down on the couch and talking about your mother. I got a feeling that you're talking about something different here.
No, this is somebody who believes God's word and will hold you accountable to God's word. It's very simple. It could be in a coffee shop. It could be in a church office. It could be in somebody's home. It could be in a car. It could be anywhere. But you need to have somebody to hold you accountable. Thirdly, they're going to ask you a question, and that question is going to be this. Are you working? The Bible says if a man does not work, he shall not eat, period. So you got to be working. God requires work 6 days a week. So my guess is the counselor is going to say something like this. I suggest you spend 20 hours a week looking for a job. Then spend about 40 hours a week mowing every lawn in this church. Now, you may not be paid a lot for this, but here's a lawnmower. There's the grass. Go cut it. He's going to give you something to do. If you say, I have nothing to do, I just sit around flipping channels on the television all day long, he's going to say, that's unacceptable. That is disobedience. You need to submit now to this council. The Bible says you need to work 6 days a week. Go cut grass.
And in fact, when we do work, we not only build up a relationship with other people, we feel better about ourselves. Because as men, when we are not engaged in labor, we feel useless.
That's the worst thing that can happen to a man, is not having work to do. You lose your confidence in your abilities.
In fact, it leads to hopelessness,
yeah,
which really makes that job search that you're doing almost impossible. It's virtually impossible to find work for an employer if you have no hope.
All right, so the first question is, are you working? The second question they will ask you in counseling is this: do you have a family that can help you out? For example, if the poor person happens to be an elderly widow and she has a son, then the first question is, will your son help you? Will your son kick in $1,000 a month to help you? Or will your son take you into his home? Of course, if he doesn't, according to 1 Timothy 5, he is worse than an unbeliever. So obviously, you are not to consider him a believer at all. But if she's got a believing son, a church-attending believing son, that son should help his mother. And then the final bastion for assisting the poverty-stricken in our society is not the state, it is the church. So if the guy makes $500 mowing a few lawns, he's able to get an extra $500 from some relatives, and he's got an extra $1,000 a month, that church has to kick into this. Historically, Dave, I don't know if you knew this, but historically, you read the documents of church history, historically, 33% of the budget of a church went to assist the poor. Now, it's not 33% today, Dave. It is pitifully low today. I got a budget from a rather large church, and this was a $600,000 budget, all right, for a local church. You know how much they had for the poor? Guess how much it was?
$15,000.
No, wasn't $15,000. No way.
$10,000?
No, wasn't even $20. There wasn't a line item on the budget for the poor. How do you think Jesus feels about that?
Well, I know that James says that true religion is taking care of the poor, of taking care of the widow and the orphan. That is what our faith looks like when we practice it, when we put it into action.
Dave, this is a church that is irrelevant. It is irrelevant to true religion. It's irrelevant to changing anything in society. I guarantee you, this is a conservative church. I guarantee you, in this church, there were Republicans that were voting Republican because they were hoping that government would decrease in size and be a little less money going to the poor from their tax dollars. And you know what? That's not going to happen as long as the church is irrelevant to the issues of the poor. We will not rebuild society on God's way of doing things. We will not see any help for the poor as long as churches refuse to do what God wants them to do, according to 1 Timothy 5. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about relevance in the church and what to do with the poor. Stay tuned. Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with powerful messages that will encourage your family to live and love together. Imagine a 5-day family camp from $52. Okay, you can stop imagining now. It will happen next August in Glorieta, New Mexico. Your family will hear inspiring messages on family, godly womanhood, how to be a man of God, from great speakers like Dr. R.C. Sproul Jr. and James and Stacy McDonald. There will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, and all the rest. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church strategically located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock. Call 303-648-9606 for a brochure or email camp@reformation.com. You need to register now. At these prices, we are almost filled up. That's camp at reformationchurch.com.
This is Kevin Swanson. Let me tell you, I'm planning to use National Driver Training Institute's program for my son, Daniel, because parent-directed driver education has proven to be the most effective training process in the United States. This program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, is approved in Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, and many other states. Your teenager can start the process at 15 years old and receive his license by 16. This course is recognized by every insurance company in Colorado and approved for home study by the state of Colorado. Programs start at just under $100, and you will have everything you need to create a safe driver for life. Call National Driver Training Institute at 800-942-2050. That's 800-942-2050. Or visit them on the web at nationaldrivertraining.com. Let them know you heard about it right here on Generations. Is the church irrelevant? That's the question today on Generations. With tithing at the lowest percentage in American history, we tithe less than the poor people did during the Great Depression as a percentage of our income. Those attending churches are tithing less than 2.5% of their income, which is less than what people tithed during the Great Depression. Is the church irrelevant to the average person? Possible. But there are churches, there are ministries, especially in the inner cities, that understand this issue of welfare dependency, and they're doing something about it. Praise God for that. But your average local church hasn't caught the vision of what is involved in being a church. And Dave, you mentioned that we're not just looking for physical home for those that are homeless. We're looking for a spiritual home, a home where these people will be nurtured both physically and spiritually. And that's a tough job to do, isn't it?
It sure is. And that person who needs a spiritual home needs to understand that not having a spiritual home is more dangerous than not having a physical home.
And when somebody comes to your church who's been homeless and has a lot of spiritual problems, Dave, there's an intense involvement that's required for us to get into their lives and deal with their spiritual and physical needs. That's difficult to do. It's much easier to have some kind of a program, some kind of an entertainment deal where you just kind of entertain them and then say, God bless you, we'll see you next week. That's a lot easier, isn't it?
Oh, it's far easier to throw a couple dollars at somebody than it is to love them. Love them takes work.
Yeah, and you've got to stick to it for a long period of time to get involved and to see that their lives are back on track. Ladies and gentlemen, the issue of homelessness addressed on Generations. May I encourage you to get a book that has been helpful to me? I read it at least a decade ago. George Grant's Bringing in the Sheaves. Bringing in the Sheaves, A Biblical Approach to Poverty. You need to get a hold of this book. It is excellent for the issues of poverty in our society today from a biblical perspective. That's George Grant's Bringing in the Sheaves. Get this book at checkbooks.com on the web, checkbooks.com. That's checkbooks.com or call 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK. You can interact with this program by emailing me, Kevin at check.org. That's Kevin at check.org. And you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down the vision for the next generation. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in, and that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288. Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month, yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.
Oh, why did I put it off? I should have made an appointment.
This winter, don't get left in the cold. Get your car winterized at Academy Car Care and Repair. Academy Car Care and Repair's ASC-certified mechanics can work on all vehicles. Call Academy Car Care and Repair today before you really need them. 573-5973. That's 573-5973. Academy Car Care and Repair at Academy and LaSalle.
Looking for the ideal Western family vacation? You need to check out Latigo Ranches at latigotrails.com. Enjoy 100-mile panoramic views of the Continental Divide 3 miles from the nearest neighbor. Your children will have a fabulous time horse riding, swimming, and fishing. Latigo Ranch is secluded, scenic, and intimate, the perfect size to create a sense of family coming home. Enjoy a vacation of mountains, trails, horses, and great country cooking. Whether it's a family reunion or a once-in-a-lifetime Western vacation for your family, Latigo Ranches is where you want to be. LatigoTrails.com or call them at 800-227-9655. That's 800-227-9655.